Dr. C here. Before we begin, I'd like to make sure that you're aware that this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp is a leading provider of online therapy, and they provide video, phone, or live chat sessions with a licensed professional therapist. It's affordable, and you can connect with your therapist within 48 hours. Now, as a special offer to our Surviving Narcissism listeners, they'll offer a 10% discount for your first month of professional therapy. All you have to do is go to BetterHelp.com, that's BetterHelp.com/Surviving Narcissism Podcast. Now, I know that many of you would find online therapy to be quite life-changing, and so go to BetterHelp.com/Surviving Narcissism Podcast, and many thanks to the people at BetterHelp for sponsoring our podcast.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Surviving Narcissism Podcast. This is Michaela, the program director, and I would like to start this episode with a short introduction. For those of you new to this podcast, Surviving Narcissism is the product of many years of work done by Dr. Les Carter. Dr. Carter is a best-selling author and therapist with more than 40 years of experience, specializing in anger management and narcissistic personality disorder. This week, Dr. C's topic will be how to interpret a narcissist's anger.
Well, hello, Team Healthy. I'm so pleased that you would have me again for another episode from our Surviving Narcissism Podcast. Okay, so a lot of you know that I have a deep history of having done a lot of anger management type of workshops, and I've written on the subject extensively. The best book that I have out there on that topic is The Anger Trap, and how people get caught up in their own trap of anger. And so it's out of my discussions on anger that I have developed my concepts and ideas about narcissism. One of the presumptions that I make is that you can tell most about an individual's level of personal maturity by watching the way that they deal with conflict, and you're going to see it. Yeah, you know, I start with the assumption anybody can get along with another person when everything's going great. The mark of maturity is when you can get along with someone when there's difficulty or when there's strain, and yet you still have healthiness to draw upon in those moments. Now, that having been said, I want you to think about those narcissistic individuals in your life. Would you describe them as really being on top of it in a healthy way with their anger? And of course, the answer is, well, no. In fact, I've spoken with so many people who kind of have this notion that says, well, you got to be real careful about what you say around that person because you know how they get. Narcissists have this chronic undertow of irritability and agitation and annoyance. Now, some of them are quite good at disguising it for a while. You know, they can be friendly and they can engage with other people and they can go about their jobs and take care of their duties at home, et cetera, in their social life. But like I say, it's when those moments of conflict come up that the agitation and the irritability comes about. And so I want to talk with you today about how to interpret a narcissist's forms of anger, okay? Taking another aside, but actually this is not really aside. It's kind of to the heart of the matter. Let me ask you a little quiz question. Do you know the most frequently used word whenever there's conflict and tension between two individuals? And of course, the most frequently used word in the midst of conflict is the word you. Well, you should have done this, and you told me yesterday, or I hate it when you do this, and you need to quit doing this, and you need to do that more. Basically, whenever strain and difficulty comes along, a high percentage of individuals will kind of convince themselves, the way for me to get through my difficulty, through my anger, is to get you out there to act right. And if I can get you to change your way of treating me, then I am going to be okay. And what it implies is that that angry individual is not really willing to take a hard look at who they are from the inside out. Now, sure enough, I'll speak personally. I can look around in my environment and find all sorts of things out there, you know, with people and events and circumstances that can generate anger. And when I say anger, annoyance, irritability, agitation, frustration, those are all gurgling forms of anger. And then it can turn into something a lot bigger. I can find all sorts of things out there that can generate anger, as you can, as those of you who are listening. The mark of maturity is not me making all of that stuff out there different, but finding out what's going on in here. So that as I have the opportunity to be angry and agitated, I've got a good handle on it and it's not going to run away with me. Narcissists can't think this way. Now, I want us to think about some of the core ingredients or trends or patterns that narcissists get into that disrupt their capacity for managing conflict and strain and difficulty. For example, one of the things that we know with narcissists whenever there's a difficulty is they want to maintain a superior position over other individuals. And when I say want to, that's not a strong enough way to put it. They need to maintain a sense of superiority over other individuals. Whenever there's a difference between you and that narcissist, rather than speaking as one equal to another, they can't do that. How many times have you thought, I hate it when that person talks down to me? Okay, notice the vertical notion there. That narcissist is up here and you're down there. Narcissists, as a general rule, have to be in the superior position, and so they have no difficulty at all speaking in a condescending way to you. And this is why it's so easy and natural for them to go into their critical mode or their mockery or sarcasm. All of that is an attempt to try to stay in the superior position, which of course means that you are the inferior one as far as they're concerned. And of course, that's not a good characteristic to have if you're trying to have healthy conflict resolution. Another thing that we know that narcissists carry on the inside of themselves when strain and difficulty comes along is they have an inability to be objective. Now, again, this is one of those like, well, I can't say that one's strong enough either. In fact, when I say that they have an inability to be objective, that's actually a gross understatement. Now, let's take a look at the difference between objectivity and subjectivity. Objectivity means that you have an ability to slow down and think and weigh the facts that are in front of you in a fair and equitable kind of way, and then you arrive at logical and reasonable conclusions. That's what objectivity is. Subjectivity means that your emotions just take over and all of your own personal experiences come flooding up to the forefront, and you interpret life through your own lens of emotion and experience and hurt or history and all of that to the extent that you can't really sift out the facts. It's all about what you feel in the moment, and narcissists are masters at that, which is not a good thing. For example, let's suppose that you have a difference in the way that you're managing something on the home front or something at work, and you need to talk about it. Objectivity says, let's look at what our goals are, our intentions, etc. The narcissist is like, why are you doing this to me? And I hate it when you do this. And so they get caught up in all of the emotion. That's what I mean in the difference between objectivity and subjectivity. Narcissists have great difficulty because, you see, it's all about me. And that lends itself to the subjectivity. Or another is that the thing that narcissists carry on the inside of themselves whenever there's a strain is that they just have a general incompetence when it comes to managing difficulties and problems, rather than thinking, well, we've got a problem here. I know me well enough to know that I can figure this out. I know that I have a capability. I have a competence from the inside out. Narcissists, though, instead of thinking that, they think externally and they think, I know that there's a solution and you're supposed to provide me the solution because I can't handle it on my own. I don't have that kind of inner strength. I've got you. I need you to tell me how we're going to do this in a better kind of way. And so rather than drawing upon any kind of internal strength, they externalize the solutions to the extent that they go into the blame and the shame and the accusing and all the rest that goes along with it. Another ingredient that narcissists bring along with them as they engage with strain and difficulty is just raw impulse. It kind of goes along with what I'm saying about a lack of objectivity. It might be that you say something and immediately you get a huffy response, or immediately they just look at you and walk out of the room, or they say something that's just really rude and right there in the moment, and their filter system doesn't really cause them to slow down. In other words, they don't have a natural patience that they bring to the equation. Let me take an aside. My very first class that I had back at Baylor University in counseling, I was a senior in my undergraduate, and I was so thrilled that I was actually getting to take a counseling class. And the professor, his name was Dr. Canopy, and he was absolutely wonderful. Dr. Canopy would sit us down in groups of three or four, and then he would give us scenarios that might show up in a counseling office, and he would have us as students break it down, and we would talk about it in all sorts of ways that we might look at it. And of course, we were 21 years old. We thought we knew everything. But one of the things that struck me as Dr. Canopy would talk with us about how to manage cases was the measure of patience that he had. And he just exuded patience and then steadiness that went along with it. And I don't remember anything else particularly that he taught necessarily in the class, but what I remember is when it came time for him to break something down, there would be kind of a, I know me well enough to know that we can figure this out. It may not be, we may not get to the finish line today or maybe not even tomorrow, but we'll get there. And there would be that sense that says, I know we can do this. And that would be the patience that would undergird it. When narcissists, though, come at you with raw impulse, they just shove that patience aside. And it's like, well, I want what I want right now. And you better do what I tell you to do right now. They lack that. Which means that they have a lack of inner strength or inner steadiness to draw from. Another thing that narcissists carry on the inside of them that make them poor candidates for conflict resolution is that they have a very tentative foundation for self-esteem. They may present themselves as being very impressed with who they are. And in fact, the insinuation is that when they tell you that you're supposed to conform to them, it's like they're saying, well, keep in mind, this is me and I'm the standard bearer here. And yet at the same time, that's not good self-esteem. That's just super imposing. They're very insecure individuals. And then in addition to all of this, we can also say that part of what they bring when you're in conflict with them is they don't have any particular regard for whatever damage they're creating on the inside of you. So we go back to the fact that along with narcissism is this great undertow of agitation and anger and irritability. And you're over there thinking, well, you know, what did I do? And I'm hoping you can see that there's much going on inside that narcissist that is being played out, and you're the player on the stage with them, but it's not about you. See, let's take our discussion a little bit further. When I mentioned that it was out of my anger workshops that I began to have an understanding of narcissism, once the narcissist is triggered, once that person has a frustration right there in front of them, here comes all of the characteristics that are part of the definition of narcissism. Now, what is narcissism? Well, first and foremost, we talk about a person having the attitude of entitlement and selfishness. Okay, that attitude of selfishness and entitlement latches on to the anger and it takes it in a bad place. Another of the core ingredients of narcissism is control. Control then latches onto the anger. And by the way, there's a healthy anger, and healthy anger is a non-controlling form of conveying what's frustrating you. Narcissists like, no, now that I'm angry, I have to force you inside my grooves. I have got to get my way. I have to make sure that people know exactly what I think and feel. And so the narcissism just comes out in full force in that way. Or another ingredient that is part of narcissism that then is triggered when the anger shows up is narcissists, by definition, are pathologically defensive. And when I say they're pathologically defensive, they don't trust people. And so when someone else comes along and says, well, I have a different perspective, or there's something about you that I'd like for us to examine, instead of saying, well, okay, let's talk, it's like, you're out to get me, aren't you? And you're trying to make me look foolish, aren't you? And so they throw their walls of defense up. They'll justify who they are. They'll rationalize why their decisions are so good. And then they use their favorite defense mechanism, which is projection. And they'll see in you what they refuse to acknowledge on the inside of themselves. For example, they may say something like, there you go again. You're just being so contrarian, and you're just being so critical, when in fact that actually is who they are. And so part of the narcissism there is already there. And then so when the anger comes, then that comes out into the open. Or another ingredient of narcissism that then latches onto the anger is their inclination toward alternate reality. You know what I mean when I say alternate reality? Basically, what we mean is they start making stuff up as they go along. If there's something that's in their world in front of them that doesn't suit their narrative, then they'll just start making things up. For example, let's suppose that you have put a lot of effort into handling a situation well. And then there's a conflict as you go about unfolding your efforts in that situation. The narcissist can come along and say, you know, you're one of the laziest people I've ever known. And I mean, you don't ever contribute anything good. And you're thinking, are you kidding me? Have you seen all the nice things that I've been trying to do and all the effort I put in? It's like, well, that means nothing. That's alternate reality. They just start making stuff up to suit whatever their storyline is. And so that's an element of narcissism. And then that ingredient locks in with the anger and takes it into a bad place. I'd like for you to be aware of my video courses. One of them is entitled Free to Be, Finding Yourself Despite the Controllers in Your Life. Now, inside this course are various modules, and inside each module, it breaks down into various lessons with a video, teaching documents, and then also questions that go along with it. For example, inside Free to Be, you'll learn how controllers want to invite you into their games, but then you'll also learn about the 7 principles of freedom, how to develop self-trust, and much more. Now, if you are interested in enrolling in the classes, you could go to our survivingnarcissism.tv website, click the link for courses, and you'll find that one and others. And I hope that you would find them to be quite therapeutic.
And now back to Surviving Narcissism with Dr. Carter.
Likewise, another of the primary ingredients of narcissism is the willingness to exploit and use and manipulate other individuals. And so they start trying to make you do things that you don't want to do, or make agreements with them that you don't want to make. And so that locks in when they're angry. And then, of course, another of the major ingredients of narcissism is the lack of empathy. And so in their lack of empathy, and then when anger shows up, what they'll do is they invalidate, as opposed to understand, your emotions. When you say, here's my perspective, in their lack of empathy, they're naturally inclined to say, well, that's no good, or that doesn't make sense, or I don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. So let's kind of take what we've said up to this point and kind of fuse it all together. They already have these natural inclinations anyway. They don't have the ability to be objective, and they don't have good stress management skills, et cetera, the things that I was mentioning a few minutes ago. And then when you realize, and there's already this natural inclination toward the narcissistic pattern with the control and the lack of empathy and the condescension and all, you can see that when you're in an anger-provoking situation with a narcissist, it's not going to be pretty. Now, the key for you to realize, though, or a key truth for you to realize and hold on to is, whenever they bring all of this dysfunction that I'm talking about into a disagreement with you, I want you to think, and whose fault is all of this when it all falls apart? And I kind of think you know the answer to that question. They blame you. They have all of these characteristics that are defining features. They have these patterns of behavior that are dysfunctional. And then when they bring all of that into a conflictual situation with you and it predictably comes apart, then they turn around and say, you know, trying to deal with somebody as idiotic as you is just my life's misery, and you make me miserable. And so that we go back to that word, you did this and you did that. They cannot take responsibility. So when we talk about, dealing with narcissists in the middle of conflict, it's going to be so important for you to go back and ask, how am I supposed to interpret all of this? And what am I going to do so that I don't have to just take on all of the blame that they're wanting to put on to me? Well, there are multiple interpretations that I want you to hold on to, because it's so important for you to go back and grasp that objectivity that I was mentioning a few minutes ago, so that you don't get so subjectively pulled into their dysfunction that you wind up being a poor version of who you want to be. By the way, one of the biggest mistakes that we can make whenever you're dealing with a narcissistic person who's bringing all their anger at you is you can actually go into a very similar counterflow of anger in reverse. In other words, they establish your pace and you allow them to take charge of your patterns and your methods of dealing with conflict. That is not a good formula to follow at all. So let's put some interpretations on their anger, okay? When someone comes across in the many different ways that I've just described to you in the middle of conflict, the first thing that it tells me is this is a deeply fearful person, okay? Now, if you were to confront this loud and yelling and veins bursting and accusing kind of a person, if you were to sit down with that person and say, you know, I can tell there's quite a bit of fear going on, they would look at you as if you had three eyeballs and think, what are you talking about? Because they won't see it. And that's part of their lack of objectivity, and they tend not to be very insightful. When somebody responds to you with this egregious, over-the-top form of anger, what they're saying without words is, I'm really threatened right now. Stop right there. What does that mean? That means that they're in a fear-based mode. Basically, what they're saying is, I don't know what to do with you. It scares me to think that somebody would think poorly toward me. It scares me to think that you would be different enough to where you would maybe invalidate me and walk away and decide that I'm not, you know, useful to you. It scares me to think that I'll be all alone and you're going to be over there thinking that I'm a nobody. And so their anger is their way of indicating, I've got to get you to think differently. Of course, their methods leave a whole lot of room for improvement, but these are fear-based people, and they're operating from a lack of trust, and they're operating from a lack of inner security and low self-esteem. But the anger is just their way of trying to cover it. And by the way, you know, when I talk about all of this, I know I'm making it sound like a narcissist is always loud and pushy and abrasive. Sometimes their anger is in their stubborn passive aggressiveness, where they refuse to talk with you, or they refuse to cooperate, or they make promises that they know they're not going to follow through on. All of that is under the same umbrella here. So whether it's openly aggressive or passive aggressive, the concept applies in both directions. Another interpretation that we can put onto the narcissist when they go into that angry and volatile kind of space with you is we can interpret it as them implying that they're fundamentally unhappy people, okay? And so not only are they fear-based, but they just don't have any real sense of joy that they can draw upon from the inside. Now, it doesn't mean that these people never laugh or tell jokes or funny stories, and it doesn't mean that they are never engaging with other individuals. But the implication is that there's not this sense of internal calmness and peace that they have to draw upon. And you'll notice that the anger, whenever it shows up, and the conflict and differentness, immediately takes them into their space of criticism. And it's like, okay, we go back and we can say, you can tell a lot more about a person in their moments of conflict. They just naturally nurse thoughts about what's wrong with you, what's wrong with people in front of them, what they don't like about A, B, and C. In other words, there's not this internal sense of well-being that they're drawing upon, because when push comes to shove, negativity takes over. Whereas we go back to the healthy individual, it's like, it's okay to have critical thoughts from time to time, as long as they don't just completely dominate and run away with you. But hopefully, along with that and undergirding that, is that notion that says, well, if I don't get everything to line up in front of me the way that I would prefer, I'm still going to be okay. And so you can have that internal sense of confidence that can kind of act as a governor. Narcissists don't have that because they're fundamentally unhappy from the inside out. They're pessimists. They tend to be shame-based. Most narcissistic individuals were on the receiving end of lots of judgment and shame messages when they were growing up. You probably had some of that too. I know I did. But they never did really learn how to deal with that. And so as a result, they take care of their shame, or they try to overcome some of their fear of judgments by getting everything lined up outside. But they never did learn how to have that internal sense of well-being, which takes us to another interpretation. And then, and that's this, when narcissists come at you with their anger and their blame and their lack of responsibility, I'm going to interpret that as them possessing what I refer to as emotional incompetence. Now, you've probably heard me use that term before, but basically, each individual, ideally, growing up and starting in grade school years, adolescence, and then especially in the young adult years and all the way through life, needs to ask, well, who am I and what do I believe and how am I going to manage my emotions? And you want to be in an ongoing growth mode that says, whenever difficulties come along, I am capable and I can figure this out. Narcissists never did learn how to think that way. Their inclination to push all of their garbage onto you is their way of saying, I don't have the skill set to draw upon, therefore I've got to have it from you. So they're coming at you with their own incompetence intact. And again, they won't admit it, but there it is. And then in addition, we can also say that they use a lot of delusional thinking. And by that, I mean, they don't really interpret life very well. They don't have good EQ, emotional intelligence. When you're trying to talk with them about how this event made you feel something else, they can come along and make interpretations like, well, why would you think that way? And that doesn't make sense. And they can't relate when you say, let's talk about the subjective side. They don't have good emotional intelligence. So I'm hoping that as you are listening to these kinds of themes and all that are on the inside of the narcissist, we'll go back to that quiz question I asked. Do you know the most frequently used word in angry moments? And that's the word you. Narcissists, because they have so much internal turmoil that they carry and it just shows up in moments of conflict, narcissists are going to very naturally say, you are my problem. And don't bite. when they do that, because you are the person in front of them who gets to experience what their problems lead to, but you're not the problem, you're the recipient of their problem. So it's so essential for you to recognize that. Understanding that, then, I'm hoping that as you respond to the anger that they provoke and perpetuate, I'm hoping you can resolve yourself to say, I am not going to respond in kind. I don't want to take my cues from someone who has all of this dysregulation. And then, if possible, I'm hoping you can be the one that says, hey, I'm willing to talk and find a place of agreement. And so I'm hoping you can show yourself to be somebody that is willing to discuss what they think is important, just as you want to discuss what you think is important. But then if the narcissist, probably they won't, if they can't go along with you and join you in your healthy initiatives, then I'm hoping you can see yourself as being very separate and distinct. It's like, well, wait a minute. They are over there with all of that anger and agitation. I think differently. I'll explain myself once. I'll talk and show myself willing to engage. But when the narcissist illustrates that they're committed to their own dysfunction and they're so habituated by it that they can't go into that space with me, then I'm going to follow through with better, with my own personal initiatives first. I'll just be who I'm going to be. And if they don't like it, I'm going to be who I'm going to be anyway. And I'll establish consequences and stipulations. You know, it may be that we'll have to minimize our contact with each other, or I'll have to find somebody else to engage with on certain projects, etc. Let's just say that narcissists show a certain kind of foolishness when they go into their argumentative, angry mode toward you. And you know what? When you or when I will argue back in the same fashion, that just means they've made a fool out of me. And I'm not going to do that. Arguing and being coercive and being blustery is not a good form of conflict resolution. I hope that you can recognize there's this thing called DRC. You've heard me use that we have here on Team Healthy: dignity, respect, and civility. I'm hoping you can stay inside that parameter, even as you stand up for what you believe is wisest and best. And when you feel anger, there's going to be this mindset that says, I can still be dignified and respectful and hold my ground. And if the other person is unable to do it, then we're going to have a very limited relationship. So I hope this gives you some good insight and some good things to think about. Like I say, the narcissist wants you to be responsible for their dysfunction. Don't take the bait. And instead, it's like, I'm going to be who I am. I'm going to trust myself. They get to be whatever they want to be. But I owe it to myself to live with decency leading the way. That's what we do here on Team Healthy.
Thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. We are so glad to have you on Team Healthy.